Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Agile Entrepreneur Podcast. This is your host, Ramesh Danta. This podcast is about starting and building your own business with purpose, passion, perseverance, and possibilities. Today, we have a guest who comes from the same background that I came from, technology background. So I'm very familiar with that area. So without much ado, let me introduce you to Manoj Agrawal. Manoj Agrawal is the founder of Tetra Noodle Company, and Tetra Noodle provides startups with technology consulting services and ongoing education on relevant technical issues. In addition to Tetra Noodle, Manoj also hosts a very successful podcast as well. Hey, Manoj, welcome.
Thank you so much. So excited to be with you on this show.
Thank you. So let's get started actually with your podcast. What's the name of the podcast? And then I think it's been, you started this year, but I've been quite successful with the podcast.
Yeah, it's called Bootstrapping Your Dream Show. I launched it in February and we had a slow start as any sort of new venture does. And it started sort of getting noticed around May timeframe. And since then, it's been picking up consistently. So right now it's among top 200 podcasts in USA.
Oh, congratulations, Manoj. Excellent.
Thank you.
In the same year you've done that, it's a fantastic accomplishment. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Tetra Noodle. What does Tetra Noodle do?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, so I work with, especially with the tech startup founders, entrepreneurs. If anybody who needs help with technology or they are thinking of launching a startup, because what happens is, as you may be well aware, building technology is not very straightforward. You need to think about building the technology in sync with your business plan, your outlook, and the constraints that you have, meaning what kind of resources you have, what kind of funding you have. So there are a lot of these intricate decisions that you need to make. And people who are new to this field, they obviously need help in making sure they give themselves the best chance of success. So I help with that process. And along similar lines, I also help software engineers, tech engineers get trained on latest technologies. So, there's a huge demand for things like blockchain, machine learning, DevOps, cloud computing. So since I have worked with so many engineers, hired and interviewed many engineers. In fact, in my career, I've interviewed more than 5,000 engineers. So I sort of understand, where they are lacking the direction and where they need help. So that's why I started training business about 3 years ago.
With so much changing, the technology landscape is changing so much. I mean, how do you personally keep up with changing landscape?
I mean, the thing is there is no way to know everything because as you said, everything is changing so fast and new paradigms are coming up so fast. So it's a futile effort to be able to learn everything. So, I try to keep track of 4 or 5 key technologies as they are coming up. And then obviously, as the technologies become more popular, I start to learn a little bit more about it. And generally the way that it happens is let's say blockchain becomes popular and within 2 or 3 years, some projects start to flow my way, which are related to that technology. And at that time, through just this organic work stream, I tend to learn new technologies and try to find better ways of implementing them, new innovations and things like that. So it's just sort of natural progression because as the technologies become popular, they start to become part and parcel of the projects you're working on and hence you get up to speed with them organically.
That's great, Manoj. It looks like you have a natural curiosity towards the technology. I mean, these topics. Otherwise, it's very difficult if you're just trying to learn for the sake of learning. It never goes anywhere unless you have a, passionate, you're curious about these technologies.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Hey, now let's start walking back towards your journey, entrepreneurial journey. When did you start Tetra Noodle?
I've been doing this for about 20 years. So I started the company back in 2000 and it had a different name back then. It was called Spider Communications. That name was dated now, people didn't really understand what they were doing, what I was doing. So I changed it to Tetra Noodle. Now it's again, the name is again kind of funky. People don't understand, but there's a story behind it.
So what's the story? Let's get to the story.
Sure. I mean, you know, when I was trying to think of a different name, I was sitting down with a few friends in a restaurant called Noodle Box.
I see.
So, you know, we used to go there quite often. And, you know, I was thinking about a sort of a catchy name, and Noodle Box obviously didn't sound right. So with the box, you know, obviously the box has four corners, and that's how I sort of adapted that name into Tata Noodle.
Hey, that's pretty cool. I like that. I mean, that kind of a story has always resonated very well. All right. So you start, I mean, you have a 20 plus years background, and then you started in 2000, I mean, almost 20 years ago. But what were you doing before you started the company?
Basically, you know, I was a software engineer and employee for about a couple of years before that.
Okay.
And, you know, those were the wild days, if you remember the dot-com boom and bust. So I went through my own adventures with a couple of companies. One company I joined, they were like a predecessor to Amazon. So they were building like an online mall. So it went from zero to like hundreds of millions of dollars in value overnight, and then collapsed within 6-7 months after that. So what I determined after two or three similar experience, I was, you know, I thought I should just open my own consulting company and work with multiple founders, multiple entrepreneurs, so that I can help them simultaneously rather than relying on a job or, you know, relying on a company to basically take me where I wanted to go.
I mean, I could relate to a lot of things that you were saying, Manoj. How were the first years? So you decided to start your company after working for a few years in the industry in 2000 or so. And then that were either the glory days or with the, you know, the bust days, as you said, depending on where you are. So how was it at that time when you started? I mean, did you have a customer right away?
Through my couple of years of experience in North America, I had made, you know, small connections. Not a huge network at that time. Obviously, you know, LinkedIn didn't exist and all that. So through that small network, I got some work initially, and then slowly it expanded from there, you know, through word of mouth, referrals and things like that.
Excellent. When did you actually feel that, okay, now we are in a firm ground? I mean, I can continue doing this. At what stage? As opposed to, man, this is a struggle. Maybe I should go back to, you know, a salaried job or something like that.
You know, business is always, as you know, like it's always a continuous flow of, you know, it's never ending process, right? So you continue to grow. Some periods are slower than others. For example, 2008 was, you know, a little bit of a challenging year, and 2009 slowly started to pick up. You know, it's always changing landscape. And so you have to adapt your business. You have to adapt yourself. You have to adapt the tactics you're using. You just learn new ways of doing things, new ways to reach out customers, new type of customers. As I mentioned, like, you know, the training opportunity came along and I saw it, and then I started this another division of the same company 3 years ago. So it's always, you know, you're always looking for new opportunities, and if it works out well, then you continue. Otherwise, you try something else.
Hey, that's good, Manoj. I mean, are there any specific things that you could talk about as an education to the listeners here? Things that you have done in this journey that really helped you, like either a pricing adjustment or a business focus adjustment or a customer target or a different niche that you targeted as a geography, any of those things, that how did you tweak your model or how did you pivot to really grow your business?
There are two things I will say here. One is, you know, which you touched upon earlier as well. I always try to stay on the cutting edge of the technology. So, you know, not like, you know, as soon as a beta comes out, I start to incorporate it, but I like sort of watch it. And as the technology grows and its popularity increases, then I try to get myself into those technologies because everybody wants to incorporate the latest technology. So a blockchain right now is huge. Machine learning AI is huge. Cloud, I mean, when it was new, it was growing really fast. I mean, even right now, cloud is up there. DevOps, these type of skills are, you know, everybody wants to incorporate them, and not a lot of people know how to implement these in an effective way. So I try to live, you know, live by that paradigm, like basically try to understand new technologies. And because all these technologies become popular for a reason, and they bring in new benefits, new ways of doing things. So when we can incorporate these into our products and services, they become better.
Nice.
So that's one aspect. The second aspect is, as you said, like getting focused on the target market. So I work with early stage startups or, you know, maybe up to Series A startups. No,
I
not
see.
Beyond that. because they are the ones who need the most help in getting to the stage of getting funding or getting a product out. Or sometimes what has happened is they have built some technology, but you know, the team they hired earlier, it was not really very experienced. So they need some expert help in sort of sort out the technology or figure out what is going wrong. So those type of issues are very common these days in the startup world. And I try to work with those founders.
So my observation is this in the technology area, right? Especially with the latest technologies. So there is a natural curiosity to learn. So that means that there's a skill set gap. So that training kind of stuff, definitely there's a decent opportunity. But for actual, if you go into many of these large companies, I think you're focused on startups, but large companies, when you actually go for implementation and actual technology projects, all these companies are still working on legacy software. Like it's they're not working on latest stuff. So there is a lot of opportunity for legacy skill set, but from a training and knowledge perspective, opportunity for the latest technologies. Do you see this dichotomy when you go out in the industry?
A lot of the legacy technology, again, it is there for a reason. Either the technology is already matured, and that's why the legacy systems are there. And if it's not broken, then there is no need to fix it. So, but in many cases, if they have adopted legacy technology, it's because of lack of skills or knowledge. And that's where, you know, they may run into issues where that technology cannot scale properly or cannot, they are bound by the limitations of the technology and they cannot implement certain use cases. So that's where, you know, when they get stuck, when they contact me, I can say, okay, what you have done is awesome. Let's salvage what we can. But these are the components where we can incorporate these new technologies and take your system to the next level, right?
Excellent, Manoj. That is very good insight.
So you know, that lack of skill and experience can be filled in by somebody like myself or you know, other people who have experience with startups and technology. So that's one way to sort of, you know, address this issue. And again, as I touched upon, training and experience is the key, right? Like if people understand the technology, then obviously they wanna incorporate it, take advantage of the new features and all that. But if not, then they do what they can with the skill set that they have, and which is okay as well, right? As long as it serves their needs and their business.
Hey Manoj, now let me switch to a little bit about your personal story. I mean, I found it very interesting when I read some of your blogs and some of the episodes and all this stuff. You're a man of diverse talents and experiences, right? I mean, a variety. Okay, let me start with one specific, right? You really climbed up the ladder through your experience. You started in factory, working in a factory at the age of 15. So my question, that is not a typical background. Why did you have to do that? What's the background? What's going on?
The thing is, like, you know, growing up in India in a small town, we're talking about like 20, 25 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And even today, small towns anywhere, I mean, doesn't even matter like India or any other country. Small towns don't have huge opportunities. They don't have educational institutions. Because of the lack of opportunities, you have to basically do what you can. And that's what I had to do. And along the way, I tried to educate myself. I tried to understand how the world works and try to leverage whatever skills I had, which was basically my education, my knowledge. And I worked my way from there.
Excellent. So, I mean, was there an inflection point? Was there something that really navigated your career like upward? For example, in my case, when I moved from, similar background as yours, when I moved to Bombay, that is where, things took off. Were there things like that in your background?
What happened was, there was, I think, 96 or 97, somewhere along those lines. So a new computer institute opened up in my town. So that was the first sort of, a professional training institution. It was a small institute, not like a very big institute, but you may recognize the name Aptech.
I do know. Yeah.
Exactly. So the Aptech institution, they opened up their center in my town. And, after some struggles in terms of, collecting the fee for the program, I was able to enroll in a computer programming course.
I see.
And that sort of changed my life because, you know, I really found what I like to do. I just fell in love with programming, and I used to spend, you know, hours and hours the whole day, whole weekend, just trying to get as much time on the machines and trying to program new cool things. And so that's that was the inflection point, I guess, for me.
Oh, excellent. That's phenomenal from us in that area. And especially, I think, when you're learning new things, you know, you don't get tired. You don't feel that you're looking for the next day. I could relate to that one. So, Manoj, the other thing is, like, you also, I mean, you're not just in the technology, digital marketing. You transcend into, hey, mindset, right? So it's like a mindset training and spirituality. So tell me a little bit about, I mean, tell us, what's going on? Like, how did you, I mean, why did you have to focus on mindset training and spirituality as well?
You know, going through the childhood that I had, you know, which was quite challenging, what happens is, you know, you start to form certain beliefs, you start to pick up certain traits in your personality, in your psychology, which in many cases follows you to, you know, until you are dead. So that's what happened with me. You know, I had anxiety issues. I had depression, mild depression issues, pessimism, these type of things. And obviously, when you carry this burden around on the surface, it may seem like, you know, you're doing really well. Your career is on track. But, you know, you always have the, something in the back of your mind that something is missing, right? And that's when I started to sort of look around and see, okay, what is going on? Talk to some therapists and things like that. And slowly try to understand, you know, how our psychology, our subconscious mind sort of controls the experience that we have in this world. Because if you look around it, you know, it's basically a perception of our mind. There is good and bad existing at the same time in this world. It depends on where we want to focus. And if you're focused on the bad, you know, it always seems like the world is coming to the end. And that's when I discovered, you know, okay, mindfulness, meditation, spirituality, it sort of calms your mind and it clarifies your vision, and you're able to see things as they exist more clearly. And then you can actually shift your focus towards more positive things and hence bring in more happiness, more joy in your life. And even, you know, life is full of challenges. So I'm not saying the challenges go away, but you have more, you know, enthusiasm to deal with those challenges, more insights to solve problems more quickly.
Manoj, I really appreciate you actually opening up and sharing your personal, these are not easy things to talk about. Thank you for sharing that. Appreciate that. So then you transcended many of these areas and you built a company and you built for 20 years, right? So as you've been building right now, sitting where you are there any things that you think you could have done differently looking back?
In terms of business or personal development?
Both. You can touch both topics.
For business, being a technical person, I never sort of, you know, ventured into learning more about marketing and sales. So I had this worldview that, you know, if you're really good and if you build something amazing, people will just start gravitating towards that. And it is true to a certain extent, but now, slowly I realized even if you have the best product or service in the world, it doesn't matter because people will not know, or even if they know about it, they will not care because they really care about what is there in it for them, right? You have to get that message across and you have to spread awareness, market yourself. So this realization of how important marketing is, how important your messaging is, how important sales is, it came way too late for me because, you know, I could have been much further ahead if I understood these earlier on in my career. Okay. Secondly, obviously, on the mental health side, and these things could be related because, as I said, you know, it's hard to see things clearly when you have these mental clouds on your mind all the time. As those clouds cleared away, you know, I started realizing, okay, you know, these are the things I need to look at. And so, you know, these are two things go hand in hand. So I could have looked at my mental situation earlier, and then rather than looking outside for answers, I could have looked inside earlier and then found those things much earlier.
Wow. So this is excellent, Manoj. Towards the end of the podcast, a couple of topics I would like to address. One is, I mean, you touched upon blockchain and other things, right? So There is a lot of noise out there, right? So there is artificial intelligence, machine learning. I mean, every day, right? So, but knowing what you know and sitting where you are, if I were a technology entrepreneur, like somebody either wanting to start a business or I want to refocus my company, what are the areas you think people should spend the time, energy, and money on?
I talk about in many other social media posts and many other podcasts. So when I look at, you know, what people need, they should, you know, startup founders, entrepreneurs, really, they should have a little bit of a longer point of view. You know, they should look out 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. What will humanity need? Like, you know, what will human race need in 5 years? What will be the critical resource? It's not going to be social, another social media network. It's not going to be another, you know, way of marketing yourself. It's going to be more basic things like clean water, you know, clean, healthy food, you know, air to breathe. These type of things are going to be paramount as, you know, energy resources are vanishing and environment is getting affected. So I think people should look at these bigger problems because, you know, if you are able to bring in a solution that can address these problems, these are global problems. I mean, you can obviously, you know, make a huge difference in people's lives. At the same time, the economic benefits could be humongous as compared to, you know, things which people are focusing on these days. So in my opinion, you know, people should focus more on that and get ahead of the curve because these problems are going to become critical, urgent in a few years' time. And then everybody will be racing towards that.
That's a very interesting viewpoint you have there, Manoj. I didn't expect you to go there, but it's a very relevant and I know with all the climate change discussions going on, I think some of the topics are, very important. So the last question, the agile entrepreneur philosophy and then what is targeted is having the aspiring entrepreneurs all the right tools and then mindset to quickly start the company as opposed to waiting forever to start the company. And then for entrepreneurs themselves, how can they go from stage one to stage two very quickly? So what is the advice that you could give to these two classes of people? One is people who want to start the businesses. And then secondly, people who have started the business, but now they want to really build the businesses for the long term.
You rightly pointed out, like, you know, the agile entrepreneur or the way to do in an agile fashion is just figure out the next step and do it. Don't overanalyze things. You know, a lot of people, they get bogged down by analysis paralysis. They look at all the possible outcomes and you know, all, that basically just clouds your judgment. Maybe you get some clarity, but the time lost is a huge cost. So in my opinion, you know, you just need enough information to be able to take the next step. And also along the same lines, people tend to, you know, look at the entire work stream, all the steps they need to take to accomplish a goal. Rather than that, you should just focus on the next step. And then once that is accomplished, then move on to the next step. So just take it, you know, you have a grand vision, break it down into smaller chunks and try to take bite-sized actions towards your grand vision. And along the way, be flexible. Don't, you know, if you're getting feedback from the market that you're not going in the right direction, then be ready to change direction based on that feedback. Because at the end of the day, whatever you are building is not for your own consumption. It's for your customer's consumption. So if the customer is asking for something different, be ready to change direction. And that also helps because if you're taking bite-sized actions, it's easier to change rather than, you know, changing a whole system and everything has been implemented and now the customer says, okay, you know, this is not what I wanted, right? And the third thing I will say is particularly startup founders, they tend to try to do everything themselves. So rather than trying to do that, try to think about, okay, what do I need and who I can approach to help me to implement this because nobody is an expert at everything. Plus, you know, we only have limited time at our hands. So it's a good idea to get, you know, a team together, whether it's your permanent team, whether it's a team of VAs, freelancers, outsource, whatever it is, try to delegate, try to get people who have experience and are much better at things that you may not understand, but you need to get it done. For example, it could be copywriting, it could be graphics design, it could be website coding, whatever it is. So don't try to do everything yourself and try to reach out to people and put a team together and execute step by step.
Oh, excellent. I could not have said this any better. I mean, those are the three core principles of agile entrepreneurship. Thank you very much, Manoj. Manoj, thank you very much for coming on board.
Thank you so much.